ברשותכם, שמיים, ברשות הקהל הקדוש הזה, this is an experiment, very very excited to try it with you, and we'll see where Hashem takes us. Some of the chevra decided that they wanted to learn Zmiras V'Iyun, which means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. I thought we would start just today as an experiment which doesn't trap us into any particular misgeret. We can decide to change it if we need to, but maybe it'll lead us down a path of enlightenment and illumination. To try to understand what Zmiros of Shabbos are and what they can be. It used to be that Jews would have a Seder of Zmiros. I was Zucha, at least, when I was in Yeshiva for the year, for the 2 years that I was there, to have a Rebbe who taught me what it means to do Shal Shittis with a Seder of Zmiros. You eat a little, have a little fish, have a little challah, a bit seltzer, or whatever. And then you have a Seder of Zmiros. You go through, it's not like you like, okay, let's sing a song. You go through the Zmiros of Shal Shittis. There are Zmiros for Shal Shittis. There are Zmiros for Shabbos day. There are Zmiros for Shabbos night. And the koach of singing on Shabbos is very strong. And I thought that we would try, at least this week, we can see where it takes us, to analyze and to try to understand, now that we're back together again, after a long summer of missing each other and wanting to be in each other's company, we could try to, at least for this week, analyze what it means, singing in general. What does that mean, singing? Where does music come from a Torah perspective? And what changes about that on Shabbos? And why singing dafka on Shabbos has the ability to lift a person out of all of the darkness that you might sometimes experience during the 6 days of the week. And those Seder Hanagunim of Shal Shittis saved me so, so much. I spoke about it all the time last year to the guys in my share. To have friends to sit together by Shal Shittis and to go through and to sing the Nagunim of Shal Shittis and Friday night and the daytime afforded me 10 years of yearning deeply to experience Shabbos in Yerushalayim, to experience Shabbos back in Yeshiva, so that when I got married and I started my own little yeshiva called Mishpachat Weinberg, the house of the Weinbergs, which currently only has 3 members, 2 of which are female. So, yeah, we're modern, you know, like men and women. So we're hoping that Bez Hashem, the yeshiva will expand and we'll be able to at least maybe one day get a minion or something. I was thinking big, but we'll have to wait for the grandkids. See. Hashem should bless us. We should be able to dip into the cooling waters of Shabbos Kodesh. Sunday already. To think about Shabbos on Sunday is a great gift. So let's try to understand what singing is in general, and then we'll use that to propel us forward and try to understand what singing is on Shabbos. A small idea this week, and we'll see if we want to continue this. We'll talk after, see if this is something we're interested in exploring together. Rabbi Nachman in the Likutei Maharan, Chelek Aleph and Siman Gimel, which you have on the source sheet in front of you, it's the only source you have in front of you. Rabbi Nachman, in the third Torah of the Likutei Maharan, talks about the source of song. Where does song come from? Why does song have such a powerful impact upon the neshama? And how can we utilize song and make sure that we're making the most out of it and not harming ourselves, chas v'shalom, with its great power. Because, of course, if song has great power, then if it's misused, it can cause great damage as well. So Rabbi Nachman begins and says, Hinei mi sheshomea negina minnagi in Russia. A person who hears negina, who hears song, who hears music, mi minnagi in Russia, from a minnagi, from a singer who is evil. Kashalo la'avoda sabore. It makes it difficult for this person to serve Hashem. For this line alone, I love Rabbi Nachman. Because Rabbi Nachman doesn't say, Rabbi Nachman is not your Rebbe. Rabbi Nachman is not a person who's standing over you with a stick. Rabbi Nachman is your friend. And Rabbi Nachman doesn't say, Asur lishmoa negina mi menage in Russia. Rabbi Nachman says, I want to tell you a simple fact, and that is that a person who hears music from a menage in Russia, chaval, kashe lo la'avod esabore. It makes it hard to serve Hashem. A person who hears music from a person who's looking for self-aggrandizement, who has bad midos, who involves himself or herself, chas v'shalom, in self-destructive behavior, the music has a way of transmitting that from the menagin to the shomea, to the one who's listening. And the flip side, kshishomea menagin kasher v'havlin, when a person hears music from a holy personage, you hear music from an adam kasher, Azai Tovlo, that's good for him. Kemoshi Yizbar, as I'm going to explain why that is. So Nachman sets out with a paradigm that basically we could sum up. Be careful who you listen to music from, because when you listen to music from a holy person, that music has a way of lifting you up to a high place. That music has a way of transporting you to the Olam HaTshuva, the world of repentance, like the Majid Zer Rebbe said, that most people think that the reason that when you sing, it gives you this feeling of wanting to be better. Most people think it's because they think that the Olam HaTshuva, that world, that chamber of tshuva in the upper worlds, is somewhere right next to the Olam HaTshuva, to the Olam HaNegina. That the chamber of tshuva and the chamber of music are right near each other in the upper worlds. But the Majlisah said that's not correct. That's not why. The Majlisah said the reason that a person feels this deep sense of yearning for tshuva, of longing to be better, when they're singing or listening to music from a holy person, is that the chamber of negina, the chamber of song, of music, is itself the chamber of tshuva. It's not that they're next to each other, but that they're one quarters.
Who says that?
The Majid Zer Rebbe. So Rabbi Nachman explains, what does that mean? That's a nice thing to say, but what does that mean? So listen carefully, because he's going to say secrets of the Torah here, and we're going to try to explain it as best as we can. Music in general, Rabbi Nachman says, comes from birds. The music that we hear, nimshechas min atziporim. Music, at its root, comes from this mystical quality called tziporim, called birds. Kidi isa b'medrash, as it says in the Medrash, why is it that the Mitzora, the one who speaks Lashon Hara, the one who can't keep his mouth shut about other people, why is it that the Mitzora attains his fixing through the vehicle of bringing two birds. He takes two pure birds. One is shechted and brought as a korban, the other is let to fly away. And through that... through that, he attains a fixing of his having spoken Lashon Hara. Yavo kolanya v'yachaper al kolanya. Let the chirper come and bring a kapara on the chirper. In other words, let the one, right, birds chirp a lot. Let the one who can't stop moving his mouth come, the bird, come and be machaper, bring a kapara, this is the Medrash, bring a kapara for the one who can't stop, obviously can't stop moving his mouth because he speaks Lashon Hara. So we see that the birds somehow come and affect a kapara for this person who has problem with his speech. Okay, I understand that Rabbi Nachman is deep. We'll have to explain what else means. Kinilka machmas kolo shedaber Lashon Hara. The reason the Metzora got saras is that he spoke Lashon Hara. He used his mouth in an inappropriate way. And therefore we want to use this creature which has the most elevated speech to somehow teach this person and to perfect his quality of speech so that he'll no longer be attracted to this world of base speech. Nimtza, so we see. Mishu kosher, meaning the birds, the tziporim, which Rabbi Nachman is going to explain. I'll just give you a little bit right now so that it'll begin to clarify things. These two birds, when you think of two birds, what else might you think of?
Noah.
Okay, Noah. That's true. What else?
Kruvim.
Kruvim. And the Kruvim are where? The Kodesh Kedashim. And the Kodesh Kedashim is the source of prophecy. It's the place where we pray towards, and it's the place where prophecy comes out. Rashi writes that Nevuah comes down into the world through the two Kruvim and exits the Mishkan from the Kodesh Kedashim from that place with the two Kruvim. La la. Little by little.
What's that based on?
Yeah, right. Hashem calls to Moshe Rabbeinu from the Kodesh Kedashim. What's Hashem calling from the Kodesh Kedashim for? So Rashi writes that Hashem calls to Moshe Rabbeinu mibein shnei kruvim, from between the two kruvim. These two birds, which come to affect this person's speech, are somehow paralleled in the spiritual worlds to these two birds, which are the most elevated speech that exists in the world. It's called prophecy. And as we'll see in a moment, music and prophecy are deeply, deeply interrelated. The Kos of the Zohar, Shashtei Tziporim HaNizkar La'el, these two birds, the Zohar writes, these two birds that we're talking about, Yonkim Me'atar D'Nevim Yonkim. These birds, which are the source, the spiritual root of music, i.e. the Kruvim, which are the place of prophecy. So these birds, Shtei Tziporim Hanal, Yonkin Me'atar D'Nevim Yonkin. They nurse, they draw their sustenance from the same place that Nevuah draws its sustenance. Hence, a link between Nevuah and song. These birds, which are the masters of song, draw their sustenance, says the Zohar, from the same place that Nevuah draws its sustenance. And therefore it's not a surprise to find that when you look in the Rambam in the 7th parak of Hilchos Yisod HaTorah, the Rambam writes that Nevi'im oftentimes, in order to arouse themselves to song, would bring musicians around them to play music to elevate their minds to the place of prophecy. That's what the Rambam writes. And that somehow the music would carry them to this place of prophecy. There's a Gemara in Pesachim that says that whenever a Mizmor Tehillim begins, L'David Mizmor, That means that David HaMelech would first play music. He would take his harp and he'd start playing himself into a trance, and the music would pull him up to the place of prophecy.
Where does it say that?
The Gemara Masechet. That LeDavid Mizmor, LeDavid, first he would take for himself, LeDavid, he would take his harp, which was David HaMelech's main thing, and then Mizmor, that would allow him to sing, that would allow him to bring himself to that world of prophecy. Because the place that these masters of song, these birds, draw their sustenance from is the same place that the Nevi'im drew their sustenance from.
What's the name of David?
That's where David HaMelech was besieged with a fit of prophecy, and he would say, I better make good use of this to make some good music. Right? L'chein, now listen to this. L'chein nikra hamenagein chazan milashon chazon. Beautiful. Rabbi Nachman says, that's why the chazan, who's the cantor, the singer in the shul, the root word of the word chazan stems from the same place as the word chazon, which means vision. Nevuah, and the one who's leading song in prayer, are deeply united, are deeply connected. Hanegina me'atar de nevim yanki, because negina stems from the same place that nevuah stems from. Chazara, before we dip into the deep waters. Yeah, and normally we won't be in here if that's gonna happen.
No, you guys.
Okay. Yeah.
So Nagina stems from
Nagina and prophecy from the same place. Okay? Now I'll just show you one before we dip a little deeper, as deep as this is. I just want to show you one opposite side of this so that we'll be able to flesh it out. Again, just if we wanted to make a flow chart, which is always helpful when you're learning Rabbi Nachman. If we wanted to make a flow chart, we would say that music, it'll probably go the other way because music stems from the birds, right? Music is connected to the birds, as we saw at the Kalanya. The bird is called the Kalanya, the one who expresses its voice, and it's the perfection of speech. And is somehow connected also to the Kruvim, which is the source of
prophecy. Right,
of prophecy. So that I would guess we would say that the Kruvim go to prophecy the same way that the birds go to music. Right?
So the connection between the birds and the Kruvim.
And therefore, since the Kruvim and the birds, right, the Kruvim are birds, they're winged birds, prophecy and music also go together. And I'm going to show you the opposite as well. We know that when Anshe Knesset HaGedola, when the Anshe Knesset HaGedola destroyed the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah. The Gemara tells us in Yuma that the men of the Great Assembly gathered together, fasted for several days, and beseeched, begged Hashem, we can't, and the second base of Mikdash, the first base of Mikdash was destroyed because of rampant idolatry. All of Sefer Shoftim was a vicious cycle of Jews worshipping idols, Hashem making enemies attack them, the Shoftim coming and protecting them from the enemies and getting them to do tshuva. Or really the opposite, right? Getting to Yeshuva and therefore protecting them from the enemies. The shofar dies, people go back to Avodah Zarah. Over and over again, the same cycle. So the Anshe Knesset HaGedola, second Beis HaMikdash, said, enough of this, we got to get rid of Avodah Zarah. They daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, remove Avodah Zarah. So we're not shocked, we shouldn't be shocked, to find that the Gemara in Yuma says, where did the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah come from? Where did it come out of? Came out of the Kodesh Kedoshim, Bein HaShnei Kruvim, between the two Kruvim. Because Avodah Zarah is the same thing as prophecy. It's connecting to a divine power, but it's a debased form of prophecy. Avodah Zarah is the desire to connect to something beyond myself, to want to have a spiritual high, but not wanting to put in the effort, so I'll just do it in this way and get the high that way. So prophecy and Avodah Zarah both hang out in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Kodesh Kedosh, in the same place. And therefore, listen to this, this is really crazy, this is very deep. When you first find music in the world, music was invented in the very beginning of the world, it's a pasuk in Chumash. When music is first invented, Rashi tells us that music was invented in order to worship idols.
That was the original intention. Music was first invented to worship idols. But when music is taken from the mouth of the Rasha and is placed in the mouth of the Tzaddik, so then it has the ability to arouse a person to prophecy, to true connectivity to the upper spiritual ones. Not to this base, defiled form of prophecy, which is called the Bodhisattva. Okay, that's like the opposite spectrum. So music could be the opposite of prophecy, but Avodah Zarah, which is also an ancillary to music, could also be connected to prophecy. It's the opposite of prophecy, yeah.
Where's the first time in Torah that we see a concept of music?
Bereishis.
Tuval Kai. Isn't one of those like sentences about
it? Yeah.
Yeah, I'll show you. Bereishis. Herek. Mm-hmm. See the perk dollar hey, give me a second.
I thought she was before dinner. I'm sorry, I didn't realize it was during.
Yuval was the Avi Kol Tofes with Kinur Vuga. He was the father of all cymbals, harps, and clarinets. Rashi writes that his umnus was for Avodah Zarah. Right, just like his brother. Yovel was the first one to start herding sheep. He used them to sacrifice them to idols. So Yuval was his brother who created music for the same purpose for Avodah Zarah.